the home of the Suns. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
The Suns pick number one overall at the NBA draft, June 21st.
The number one pick in the 2018 NBA draft goes to the Phoenix Suns.
This is the Phoenix Suns Chosen Sun Special.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome inside the studios here at Arizona Sports 98.7 FM. John Bloom along with Eddie House. You usually hear us after Suns games, home games, when we do the Suns post-game show. But one thing you don't normally hear is a lot of Suns programming the first week of June, Eddie. This is not normally when they call us in and say, hey, can you guys do a couple hours? But also, it's not a normal situation that the basketball team in this town has the number one overall pick in a draft that is now 2 weeks away. And I think the energy is starting to build in this town. Are you feeling it too?
Yeah, I'm feeling the energy there. And to be honest with you, it's never been a time like this for Phoenix Suns basketball in the offseason. I mean, no matter what, this is the first time getting a number one draft pick, overall pick, and everybody's so excited because I think we almost have him right in front of us. We know who everybody agrees that we should get, so I'm a big fan of him as well, so we'll see what happens.
And was he right in front of us just yesterday? And we're talking about, of course, the 7-foot center from Arizona, DeAndre Ayton, who had his workout yesterday, and this was the big story certainly of the week so far with regards to the Phoenix Suns and what they're doing with the pre-draft workouts. If you haven't been paying attention, they've been bringing players in for the last week or two, and most of the guys they've been bringing in, I've been watching every single one of them, almost have all been wing and guards. They've all been guards and guys who are kind of, you know, wing players. Not a lot of forwards, not a lot of centers. And then, of course, yesterday, here comes the big man. And he is a legit big man. And there is a lot of talk, and there was a lot of talk, about should it be DeAndre Ayton or Luka Doncic. That topic is starting to fade a little bit, even though we have, you know, the polls up online. If you haven't been, by the way, what they're doing here at Arizona Sports and ArizonaSports.com is awesome. With thechosensun.com, they've got their own website just dedicated, I should say we, I guess I'm part of it too, have our own website just dedicated to this number one pick, thechosensun.com, but also the whole draft. Kellen Olson, Kevin Zimmerman, everybody who's contributed is providing just a ton of great content. So when you're not listening to this show, definitely go and not only listen to the Empire of the Suns podcast that they've been doing, but also read the content on thechosensun.com. Speaking of Kellen Olson, he'll join us coming up at 6:30, right, is when Big KO is going to be in studio with us to breakdown and take a little bit of a deeper dive. That's what he does. I mean, he is immersed in the draft. I think if I had to guess, like, would Kellen Olson's dream job be the Mel Kiper of the NBA draft?
I think it would be.
There really isn't that guy. There's a lot of experts. There's a lot of NBA draft nicks out there. You can find a ton of them. In fact, we're going to talk to Sports Illustrated's Jeremy Wu in an hour at 7 o'clock and get his take and his mock draft. But there isn't Mel Kiper, who's like the guy when it comes to the NFL draft, right?
No, it's not. It's Jay Billis. Jay Billis might be a guy that they on ESPN that they talks about and give you draft coverage. Jay Will. But no, there's not a Mel Kiper out there. You're right.
Young Kellen Olson. This is his finish line right there. You're gonna have to make the hair a little higher though.
With Kellen though, he's always gonna put a European player going
right
first, so it might not be too good for him.
Yeah, he's feeling a little lonely on Team Doncic right now. It's gotten really quiet in that room, in the Team Doncic celebration room.
He's the last guy on Team Bender, so
that's right. Now he's like, hey, I have not given up on Dragan Bender.
Oh, so you're still on team? You know how much I've been trying to get you guys on.
I know you
I've been
have.
Telling you guys, me and Kellen, we would go back and forth on the podcast last year about this, man.
You did, I know. Well, we'll touch on, you know, Dragan and some of the other pieces that the Phoenix Suns may or may not bring back. Obviously, a lot of the focus on the show is going to be about the draft because we're, as I mentioned, 2 weeks away. I think there we should spend a lot of time not just talking about number one, because there are other ways this team is going to improve in this offseason besides potentially DeAndre Ayton, who you and I both believe should be and will be the number one pick. There are the other picks they have in this draft, 16. could get a very good player at 16. We'll talk about some of the prospects that have already come in and worked out for that potential pick. Number 31, you could still get an excellent pick in number 31. 59 is a crapshoot. I mean, Isaiah Thomas was number, 60, I think, the younger of the two Isaiah Thomases. And there have been some guys who have been taken late in the second round that have panned out too. But I think the all eyes start at number one. And so why don't we start there too? Let's listen to what DeAndre Ayton said a little bit yesterday about potentially being that number one pick when the draft gets underway 2 weeks from tonight. And he was asked about going number one.
Yes. You think you're going number one?
I know I'm going number one.
And that was a quick one. But I wanted to start with that because I wanted to ask you your feeling when you heard that, because a lot of people have a pretty strong feeling one way or another. This morning I was in with Doug and Wolf, and Wolf thought it was arrogant, or that was a possibility that he was arrogant. He said either he's arrogant, he's delusional, or somebody already told him he's the number one pick. Those were his three options. I think there could be a fourth option, that he just happens to be very confident that this is going to be his take going into it, and he's going to stick with it.
Right, there you go. I think that's exactly what it is. I mean, he should feel that way. I mean, if you put yourself, you put in all the hard work, you did everything you were supposed to do to put yourself in position to be the number one pick, and that's what your goal is, and you actually have a chance. I mean, why not speak into it? We've seen people do this before, right? Speak things into existence.
That's
with
right.
With LeVar Ball,
the
right?
The secret, right?
Right? Didn't he do that? Say, hey, the Lakers are going to take my son at number two.
Boy, he
and the
did
Lakers,
that.
And he spoke it into existence.
And Magic spoke getting the second pick into existence. Remember
there
that?
You go. See?
Yeah, he just thought it was a given. The Lakers were going to move up last year, and lo and behold, there they go. Yeah, so they got their guy. Now, the Suns don't need anything to fall their way to get their guy. If DeAndre Ayton is their guy, they get to pick him. And that's what the benefit of having the top pick is. Meanwhile, let me get Eddie House's thoughts on who DeAndre Ayton is modeling his game after.
This past NBA players, like Kevin Garnett, his intensity on both ends of the floor, how he changes the game, you know, rebounding from offense to defense, him starting to pick and roll drag screens, stuff like that I learned, and how he just, you know, his intensity on both ends of the floor, how he's so vocal with his teammates. And, you know, Akeem Olajuwon with his footwork down low, I try to really pick up a lot of stuff from those guys.
KG and Akeem the Dream. I mean, we watched a lot of them. You played with one of them, won a championship with one of them. Two pretty good role models if you're a big man, I would say.
Telling you.
But what do you think about it? It sounds like he's knowledgeable more than just throwing these names out.
Yeah, it sounds like he's a student of the game, what he's talking about and how he's explaining it. This is the reason why I watch this guy and I like this guy, how he changes. He talking about Kevin Garnett, KG. He said how he changes the game and his intensity on both ends of the floor. That's a good thing to model yourself, a good person and a good trait to have for you to model yourself after and try to install in yourself. And then the footwork, we all know how great Hakeem Olajuwon's footwork was. I mean, probably the best big man, the best feat of a big man that we've ever seen. So, I mean, he has two great role models, and he can attain those goals. You know, he can end up, because changing on offense, the intensity, that's something he can control.
Yeah.
Working on your footwork, you could control that, you know. And I think he has all the other intangibles as far as, you know, the length, the size, the body, the touch, the willingness to pass. I mean, I think we go on and on and rave about this kid because how great he is now and where he can get. I mean, I'm really excited to see us get him and put him in the Suns uniform and pair him with Devin Booker. And I like the fact that he said that they're Shaq and Kobe 2.0. I love that.
Yeah, I loved it too. The first time I heard it, I remember he was on with my buddy Brandon Tierney and Tiki Barber on CBS Sports in New York, and he dropped that line. I said, I'll take Shaq and Kobe 0.2. I mean, I don't need 2.0. If they could be just a fraction of what Shaq and Kobe accomplished.
That's Shaq and Kobe 2.0. You know, that's big. You know, we could really make something happen in Phoenix. We could really have a spark and, you know, have a winning legacy here.
You know, we can't talk DeAndre Ayton without at least touching base with our producer, Jared Carlin, because of all the people here at the station, there is nobody that is more tied in to the University of Arizona Wildcat basketball program than Jared Carlin from a fan standpoint. I mean, I have been with you when there's been some high-stress moments in this studio, Jared, over the last decade plus. Maybe it wasn't in this building, but it could have been in either of the buildings we've been in. You don't seem as high on him, though, and for me, it's perplexing. I do think it's partially because Arizona had a little bit of a disappointing finish to the season.
That's exactly what it was.
Oh, a little bit of a disappointing season?
Just a smidge of a difficult
getting blown
time.
Out by Buffalo?
Yeah, well, that's
that was a little disappointing. The third straight year that they lost to a double-digit seed, a little bit disappointing.
So it's
so
is it
to
not
be the coach, then.
Well, you're not blaming it on DeAndre Ayton.
And that's what a lot of people say. When I say that DeAndre Ayton was the most physically dominant and one of the most skilled and athletic players in all of college basketball last year, but he only had maybe five dominant games the entire season, why? Why is that?
Because he had another seven-footer on the other side of him. Most of the time you don't play two seven-footers together. One subs for the other, but Sean Miller wanted to go with two seven-footers. And I think at time, to Bloom's point earlier, we were talking about, he kind of deferred to the older guy.
To the vet.
You know what I mean? Yeah, to the upperclassmen. And looking at that game against Buffalo, he was begging for the ball, and he was mad that he didn't. He was pissed that he wasn't getting the ball. He kept, throw me the ball. Finally, I wanted to see that fire. I was glad to see that because it was too many games to where Sean Miller wouldn't feed him. I mean, I thought that he should have at least, because great things happen when he touches the basketball. I thought that he should have force-fed him at times. Get him 40 touches a game. They don't have to be shots. Just get him touches because good things happen.
But even when he touched the ball, he wasn't aggressive enough. Well, and he definitely wasn't aggressive enough on defense.
You heard what Sean Miller said, 70%. 30%? He got double teamed or whatever.
Yeah, what he said was 70% of the time they played zone, 30% of the time he got double teamed, and that leaves 10% of the time where he didn't.
Right,
it's 110%.
Great math. Well, he wants his players to give 110%.
Look, that might be the reason why you guys keep getting bounced in the first round.
Yeah,
it's all
Sean Miller
numbers.
Didn't go to U of A, by the way.
That's not where he got his education, but it is where he is running the show basketball wise still. We'll see for the foreseeable future potentially. Now, speaking of the future on this program. We got a lot to cover. Even though we just kind of talked about DeAndre Ayton, we haven't even scratched the surface. We've heard from him himself. Now we want to hear what some other people in Phoenix and around the NBA think about DeAndre Ayton. So that's next. Coming up, we've got all kinds of insiders joining us, including in hour number two, Scott Bordeaux, the beat writer for the Phoenix Suns from the Arizona Republic, who, by the way, covered DeAndre Ayton in high school as well. So he's got a little bit of a pass with the man, too, even before he went over to the old Pueblo to disappoint Jarrett Carlin and all the Wildcat fans. All right, coming up next, we continue this action, the special Suns program, and getting ready for the NBA draft and the number one pick right here on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM. Now, people all over the NBA landscape, as far as the media is concerned, bloggers, and all the major websites, they're jumping all over this. I just noticed another Ringer article that just came out talking about how DeAndre Ayton is the number one pick. And the Phoenix Suns have already kind of made it clear based on what went down yesterday. And as we bring you back, welcome back to our special Phoenix Suns program here for a couple hours, 6 till 8. John Bloom along with Eddie House, normally the tandem on the Suns post-game show at home games. And this last season, obviously, we didn't get to talk about a whole lot of victories. The hope is that's going to change. And the way to change it, well, you bring in talent, obviously. You have a new coach as well. And you and I haven't had a chance to really break down Igor Kokoschkov all that much. Coach Igor is how we're going to do it on the show, and I think I'm trying to get everybody to just do that so we don't have to worry about the other name. But I think this is an interesting part of the conversation, which we might as well touch on here, and that is a lot of folks thought when Igor got the job, that meant Luka Doncic was coming. That meant they were going to take the EuroLeague MVP, who just got that MVP, got the Final Four MVP as well, and had a phenomenal season, the best season of all time in Europe for a 19-year-old. And I can say that with a lot of confidence because nobody's ever done the things Luka Doncic has done. That said, that's starting to die down a little bit right now because of what went down yesterday with DeAndre Ayton taking front stage here and it feeling more like it was an introductory press conference than it was a pre-draft workout press conference.
Right. It was a big-time presser. And just the way it wasn't a quick bam-bam. It was getting in-depth with him. And I love the way he handled himself. I love that he was very well-spoken. And, I mean, Luka Doncic, I don't know how – I know Kellen probably still wants to get him. But
he'll be here at 6:30. We'll hear from Kellen. He'll still get an opportunity to talk about Luka, even though he's like soured on the whole thing now too.
Right. You have to, though.
Yeah.
You're looking at what,
just being realistic.
Yeah, you have to be realistic sometimes, call it what it is. And you know, with Luka Doncic averaging 16 points, 4 rebounds, and I think 4 assists and 3 rebounds, those numbers aren't going to inflate in the NBA. I'm sorry. So those numbers are going to go down. Can you waste your number one overall? Because your number one overall pick should be – he's a franchise changer. Obviously, your first pick is supposed – especially at this point, 1, 2, 3, those are franchise changers. Will those numbers going down, will he be a franchise? I don't think so. DeAndre Ayton is definitely a franchise changer. And you already have a franchise changer in Devin Booker. I mean, you're pairing these two guys together, and they're so young. We all can accept the fact that from this point, you're not going to beat the Warriors. I don't think but you can go and lose to them in the play, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with it. Give them a fight. You know, they can't do any worse than what the Cleveland Cavaliers are doing right now, right?
Right.
So, I mean, just that'd be a great learning experience for these young guys moving forward. So, I think it's a no-brainer, man. I've been saying this forever, though.
Yeah, and okay, let's not just have the two of us say it. Let's hear, you know, what some other folks think about it, including a guy that you talked to earlier today as well, not on the air, but just kind of rapping with Jared Dudley, a guy that we all love. He was on with Doug and Wolf this morning, and I think the reason initially that they had him on was there was a whole Twitter thing that happened with JD, where he kind of called out Kevin Durant, you know, for winning a title. Why wouldn't he go win, you know, try to take another team? Basically, the conversation had to do with easy road against, the hard road. Anyway, that's what started it. But then they asked him some questions about DeAndre Ayton, including how he felt when he heard that Ayton said, yeah, I'm the number one pick. I'm going number one.
I love that. And the reason why I do love that is this is, for one, you have to have the game to back it up. I think he does. I think that he actually is good friends with Booker. They have a good relationship. And I just think that he's breeding confidence. He's putting the pressure not only on himself, on the organization, on Robert Sarver, on Ryan McDonough, saying, hey, I believe I'm number one. I can lead this team. I believe that me and Booker are Kobe and Shaq. So he's also letting you know I'm willing to play with another star. I like growing with another star. And I think he wants to be here in Arizona. So from a Phoenix Suns fan base, when's the last time you heard of a player, maybe I know the number one pick adds, and say, hey, I want to come here and resurrect this franchise.
It's meaningful right there. I think it's meaningful to not only hear the words that are coming out of Jared Dudley's mouth, but also to think about that concept that here's a guy who everybody in the world thinks should be the number one overall pick, and he actually wants to come play for the Suns.
Yeah, that's big. I mean, wanting to be a part of something that he's been watching since he's came to Arizona. You know, that's where he's probably been. He's probably a fan of the Phoenix Suns, you know, as a young kid. Not knowing that he, with the aspirations of being an NBA player, was just looking at the Suns like, that's my favorite team. Oh, I like that player. Probably got some guys' autographs and everything. And have an opportunity to go play for your home team. Basically, that's how he feels. I don't think there's anything bad. I think everything that he's saying is sincere. And he's trying not only to speak it into existence, he wants to show you that, hey, once you do pick me, I will not let you down. That's what I'm gathering from all his comments, is that he's like, go ahead, take the. It's not even a chance you're taking. Just take me, and I'm not going to disappoint. I'm going to make sure that I put this city on my back. I'm gonna grow with all the young players that you're going to put around us, around me and Booker, and we're going to change the culture here in Phoenix.
Yeah, and not only is he saying I'm going to put this city on his back, he's actually taking the whole country, the Bahamas, and putting them on his back. He's claiming his country and saying, you know, that's where he gets his motivation. Like, he knows they're looking at him as, this is our hope to be an NBA star. This is going to be our guy in the league. And I don't know how, you know, big NBA fans they are there, but I'm assuming that they're very familiar with the sport. There's a lot of Americanization that goes on at the Bahamas. I was there with my family a few years back. And I didn't go to Atlantis. We were on a Disney cruise, man. Oh, you know, I got the two little
girls. Hop off and
We spent the day there, though. They got the nice beads in the hair. They did the whole authentic Bahamian experience. Which is always throws me off, because why wouldn't it be the Bahamas then?
I don't know.
It's the Bahamas.
Right?
All right, just picking bones. Let's hear it a little bit more from JD. Jared Dudley talking about, why is DeAndre Ayton only working out for the Suns? And I'm glad that he did, because I also want to get E. House's thoughts on this.
Because I think everyone has, you know, from top to bottom, the advice they've given him, said he's a number one pick. If not, he can't fall further than number two. I think this guy has a rare ability. Kind of when Anthony Davis came out, that he basically he went to U of A. He wants to come here. He's been letting everyone know he wants to come here, and he deserves his number one. And he knows his Suns have a need at that position. So his thing is either I'm going one or two, and it's the only workout I'm doing.
What do you make of that? He's not going to work out for any other team. He made it clear this is his only workout. Some people are wondering, well, why do you even work out for the Suns? What's your thoughts?
Well, I like it. I like the fact that his confidence. Like, hey, this is the team that I'm working out for to show them you need to pick me. And if they don't pick, he knows for sure that he's getting picked second. So I'm not working out. I'm not trying to finish in second place. I'm trying to go number one. I'm going to give you this workout, number one, and pick me. I'm here to, again, that not only the Bahamas, and to your point where you were saying, not sure how big of a basketball fan, how big basketball fans they are over there. Believe me, they're going to get behind DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah,
and especially
are.
If he's repping, he's going to have that whole country, sort of like Manny Pacquiao.
Right.
Almost, you know what I mean? But not a political, on the political side, but just as far
Let's
as.
Let's hope not. Yeah, we don't need to get
no,
into
we don't
that.
Need that. Not too, it's too no, early.
He's 19,
early.
Man. Concentrate on basketball.
Too early, right?
Now. Right?
Too early. But yeah, I think that. That just shows supreme confidence. And he's supposed to have that, man. He earned this. It's not like he just fell into, oh, you have an opportunity to be the number one pick overall. No, he put in a lot of hard work. So go ahead and feel this, soak this in, and enjoy this moment. And, I mean, and flex as much as you want to flex right now, because you actually deserve it, and it's just only going to come one time. It's going to be over, and then you're going to have to produce, which I think he's willing to do, and he will do.
And as far as the question of why did he even work out here, my thought is – you have to make sure that they know you're the guy. If you
right.
leave any question and you go look at what's happening and all the write-ups on Luka Doncic and all his success over in Europe, he's not working out for any teams because he's still playing over there for Real Madrid. He's not coming over here and working out. People are going over there and watching him play. Well, if DeAndre Ayton didn't do anything, all the hype is building for this one guy. He came here and he closed the deal. That's how I felt about it. He showed up yesterday and he closed the deal. It's game over after yesterday. Maybe it was game over before yesterday, but I think all of us kind of feel like now it's game over. Yeah. He's the number one pick.
Yeah, done data, done deal. He came here, he conquered, he seen and he conquered. He did exactly what he was supposed to do, and he's fresh on their minds going into the draft. Like, they could bring who, I don't care who they bring in. They're going to remember that work. I'll be like, and his size next to the guys that come in, they're like, wow, there's we know who we're picking. We're bringing these guys in just for fodder. You know what I mean? Just say we worked them out, but we know who we're picking. And again, and I think you said this earlier, and I heard Gambo say it too. You
it's
work
not
out,
just for fodder.
Yeah, you work out guys as well just because you never know. You might get them later on in free agency or anything things like that. So, but when they look at what DeAndre Ayton did in his workout and they bring other guys in, they're going to be like, there is a different level here, and there's no way that we could pass on him.
One thing he didn't do the famous run test that the Suns are known for.
I wouldn't either.
Right? If you were given the choice,
right.
Am I given the choice? Do I want to run until I puke or no? I'm going to say no. I'm going to take a pass on that. I think at this point, for him, there was obviously a discussion there. Because the Suns do it pretty much for all their group workouts. What they do, if you don't know, is they make them run as many end line to end line in 3 minutes. I think the record's 29. Somebody got 29.
Ooh.
This year, I think Landry Shamet from Wichita State went for like 27. Kellen, you were there. He'll tell us who's got the run drill lead now. But in the end, I don't blame DeAndre Ayton for skipping that.
Neither do I.
I would like to see Mo Bamba run it, though, because I think he could actually touch the line from the free throw. He could cheat. He could
right.
just run to the free throw line, reach out with a 7'10".
Touch the baseline
touch
and back come
back. You never have to go past the free throw line on either side. All right. When we come back, the long-awaited Kellen Olsen will join us from the Empire of the Suns podcast. Also, of course, thechosensun.com. Most importantly, arizonasports.com. All the work he does building up until the draft. After 2 weeks from tonight, you won't hear from Kellen for like another, I don't know, what, 11 months? Yeah, he'll take the next 11 months off. That's a joke. He'll be in studio with us next, live from the Ocgen Community Studios here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with
yeah.
his song.
You're wondering, you know, why did Jared Carlin decide to go this route? rather than playing the Fugees version? That would be my question. No,
this is the Fugees version.
At first, when I heard the first refrain, I didn't think it was.
So here you go. Ready?
Yeah, now it is. All right. So the reason why we're playing this song is because apparently, I mean, it's dead. It's been killed. The whole Ayton versus Doncic controversy
also,
that has levitated Kellen Olsen
from
being Kellen Me Softly.
Yeah.
Good call.
That's this is his theme song. Segment,
Kellen Me
Fair
Softly.
Enough.
I like that.
I thought it was because, you know,
I like that.
This Doncic thing is
I appreciate you trying to explain it.
Killed.
When he appears on the rundown, his segment is called Kellen Him Softly with Kellen Olsen.
I like it. So you have a theme song. Dude, you have exploded. And softly. A lot of it has to do with Doncic. I mean, I would say that a good majority of why Kellen Olsen has become an authority, I'm not going to do any more rapping than that.
Easy.
Is
hyping me up way too much on the show.
Yeah,
relax.
You're right. I have been. And that's clearly because Jared decided not to book any guests. But at the same time, we're happy to have both of you guys here. We really are. And now happy to have you join us to talk because you and Eddie did podcasting for a solid year. We've talked a number of times now on this topic as well. And are you ready to mail it in for Team Doncic? Is it over? Has the concession speech been made?
He's shaking his head yes right now.
Yep. I was sitting there when DeAndre Ayton was talking and Ryan McDonough beforehand, actually. And I was actually sitting next to two people who are with me on the Doncic train. When he revealed that Josh Jackson, Devin Booker, Isaiah Cannon, Brandon Knight, all those guys were in for his workout and they planned to watch the finals together with DeAndre, I looked at them and I said, it's been a run, boys. It's been a good run. It's over. All right, we can stop talking about this Slovenian kid on Real Madrid. He'll look good in a Kings uniform or a Grizzlies uniform or a Hawks uniform, but it's not going to be a Suns uniform, and that's fine by me. DeAndre Ayton's a fantastic prospect and is going to be great with Phoenix.
Boy, it's hard to look good in the Kings uniform. But besides that, I do think that it's been a good run for a lot of reasons. It's provided us a lot of content. And, you know, you have provided some great content. I don't have a chance to watch a lot of EuroLeague basketball. I don't know about you, Eddie. I don't. I
watched the semifinal.
Yeah, I watched it too. Actually, yeah. It was nice to see a live game. But I on the regular, I don't watch European basketball.
No, neither do I.
I can come out and just say that without feeling guilty at all because I know Kellen Olsen is watching all of it and he's writing about it. So I'm going to get the cliff notes, basically. And you provided that for us. It's not necessarily something we need to you know, go over and kill it like a you know, the horse, we're not even going to get there. But what I want to ask you is, what do you think the biggest differentiator has been for the Suns to come out and make it seem to us like it is a clear choice with DeAndre Ayton?
Everything's there, really. Everything fits together. The narrative here we've been talking about, which is it's a narrative, but it's true also, is that the Suns have never had this dominant NBA big man. They've never had this center. I mean, Charles Barkley was 6'4", maybe, Eddie. Like, he wasn't really that big, hulking presence in the middle. And that's certainly what DeAndre Ayton is. Of course, he played some high school ball here. His second home is here in Phoenix. Played just down the I-10 a bit in Tucson last year. Everything fits with him, and what they want out of him as a basketball player fits too. They want to run up and down the court with Devin Booker and Josh Jackson. Have you seen a guy that big move that fast before, Eddie? I have not.
I think the only one that I could say maybe is faster than him is Marvin Bagley, the third.
Yeah.
In the end, I think Marvin Bagley, he's about the same. They're both 7-footers, and I think Bagley from end to end probably is the faster of the two and probably the quickest second jump. But
how many guys out of college, though, can you say after 1 year in college, you can say, like, yeah, they're going to be able to bang with DeMarcus Cousins, Andre Drummond. He can do that his rookie year, and no one else is going to be able to do that. I mean, we're talking that David Robinson, of course, all those comparisons that he's made, but that's the level of at least physical guy that he is, and he's very skilled as well.
Yeah, and I also think he's a super smart player, too, as well, and a willing passer. When you have an unselfish big man, and that's the one thing, like you said, the Suns have not ever really had a dominant big man. Shaq came, the big Shaq just came through, but it was at the tail end of his career. He wasn't in his prime. You're getting a guy at the beginning. You're getting like a Shaquille O'Neal, Orlando Shaquille O'Neal, you know, and you can watch him grow, especially if you keep him around, which I think the Suns will do if they draft him. It's really... It's hard to think that they will let him go, right, with all the things that he could do. Being a willing passer, like I said, being unselfish, knowing the one thing that people said was maybe his motor. But I mean, he didn't have to he didn't really have to have that motor at U of A because he had another big guy there. They talk about his defensive anticipation and can he protect the rim. I think if you teach him, I mean, he's 19, you have to get him in the film room and teach him. I think that's one of the big things that I'm going to be looking at to see that growth there, because I watched him play and I want to see him develop into the defensive player and rim protector I think he can be.
Well, with Luka, the thing is there's a couple questions you need to answer. Where is he going to play? What position is he going to play? What's mm-hmm. going to happen with TJ Warren and Josh Jackson if he plays? Mm-hmm. DeAndre Ayton, you don't need to answer any of those questions. You were talking about teaching in the film room. Who's going to be with him in the film room every single day? Tyson Chandler. He's going to be right next to him. All these coaches are going to be right next to him. All the other veterans like Jared Dudley, guys like Troy Daniels, even guys like Devin Booker and TJ Warren are going to stick out and make sure that he's where he needs to be at. Igor Kokoshkov is going to do that as well. Everyone's going to give him the attention that he needs. I'm not saying Doncic wouldn't necessarily get that from his teammates as well, but Tyson Chandler is a mentor. Eddie, can you like name a better guy in the past like decade that you would want to have mentor young big in this league?
Not at all. Guy that always is up there in rebounds, so he knows positioning.
Was a defensive absolute stalwart right. in the peak of his career.
Wasn't he a defensive player to
you? Yes, he was.
For New York, yeah.
That's a guy. I agree with you. It's a great mentor. Corliss Williamson will probably help out too. Big Nasty working with bigs. And, I think that there is a lot of reasons, like you said, Callan, that made it seem like this has to be the guy. Maybe the biggest one is the one you just glided past and you touched on. Positionless basketball is this big in vogue, cliche right now. Everybody talks about it. But in my mind, part of the reason why the Suns have struggled so much incorporating all these young guys is they haven't given them all significant roles, like specific roles. You look at Alex Len's career. How many different times did they try to change up what Alex Len was doing? And Alex Len, I think, has proven to most of us that he's not going to be a star in this league. He might eventually be a very good role player and find a team where he's going to get significant minutes in the middle. But I'm using him as an example. Even Marquese Chriss and Dragan Bender, if you want to take them. You're going through coaches. You're going through different schemes. You don't know what your job is. And as a young player, how important is that, Eddie?
That's super important. You have to know exactly what you need, what they want you to do, so you can go out there and do it. I think the problem with the Suns, what's been happening, they've been drafting too many like-type players, guys the same size. So it's kind of hard to give them a definite role when they're like, okay, man, you might have to play the three tonight. You might have to play the four. And sometimes you might have to play the five because everybody's like size and you could switch. But now roles are going to start getting defined. You take this big man here. We know he's going to be the center. We know Devin Booker is going to be the two. You need to fill in the point guard position. We know Josh Jackson will be on the wing. Now do you go after a power forward in free agency, a veteran, Or what do you do? How do you play this? Can you play Tyson Chandler and DeAndre Ayton at the same time and play him as a stretch four? Because he has the ability to do that and if you want to go big. So I think with drafting him, it's going to put you in a position to where roles will be defined, but you'll have so many things that you will be able to do. And I mean, it's a good thing to have.
To continue on both your points, we're talking about guys like Dragan Bender, Marquese Chriss. Even Josh Jackson was a guy that was seen as pretty ready. He still needed to learn how to slow down. He went through a coaching change right away. He was guarding Blake Griffin on opening night. Like, he had a lot of things go wrong for him. DeAndre Ayton can get you 20 and 10 on opening night.
Roll out of bed and get you 20
and
10.
Yeah, Dragan Bender, it was like, okay, let's be patient. He needs to figure it out. Marquese Chriss needs to get his awareness up. It's like, no, this dude's ready right now to produce. Like, sure, I have questions about his defense around the rim, maybe some of his post moves, whatever my weaknesses, quote-unquote, are. Not one of his weaknesses is production. He's going to get you numbers right away.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think of all the years, all the different drafts that we've watched over the years, this one for me seems like there are some like amazingly solid rim protectors right up towards the top of the draft, whereas a lot of years you don't see any of that, and two of them are Mo Bamba and Jaren Jackson, right? You got two guys that could be two of the better defensive bigs in the league within the next 5 years if they live up to this potential.
But they're offensive liability as well.
Right.
That's the one thing that...
The questions are on offense, but for Ayton, there is no question on offense, and there still is the potential to be a rim protector on defense.
He just has to learn. They have to teach him.
How many 19-year-olds are great defensive players?
I don't know.
Not a lot.
No,
not really. A lot of them.
Especially if you haven't been taught.
Especially if you're going to be the number one overall pick. It's not because of your defense.
Right.
It's usually because you're filling it up, and DeAndre Ayton can do that. All right, we're going to step aside. We're going to keep Kellen Olsen here because we want to talk about the other options the Suns have to improve this roster. Namely, what are they going to do with the 16th pick? 31 could come into play too. And heck, maybe we'll even grill them on who's going to be the 59th overall pick in the second round. That's coming up straight ahead as we continue this Suns draft special right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Back inside the Auction Community Studios, John Bloom along with Eddie House and Kellen Olson from ArizonaSports.com and the Empire of the Suns podcast joining us as well. Don't forget, go to thechosensun.com for all your information with the upcoming draft. Just 2 weeks away, we're talking Suns hoops here, and happy to have you joining us on this Thursday night. Hope you guys are having a good week out there. And I did want to bring up number 16. We're going to get to that because it is kind of the one that's not being talked about as much. And you know, most years, if you go into the NBA draft and your team has the 16th pick, you're very interested. You're like, oh, I wonder who we're going to get. This year, it's like, it's just the 16th pick. We got number one. What does 16 matter, Kellen Olson?
If you ask Suns fans if they'd rather have the 16th and 31st pick in this draft, or if they would rather be able to watch Ayton play with Booker and Jackson tomorrow, they would probably just take the Ayton Booker Jackson deal. They can't wait to see him play. But 16 and 31 are really interesting. This is where you pick up guys that are going to be foundational pieces, but around that core, looking for really reliable players. We're sitting next to a guy who made a living off of doing that, just that. Call him off the bench to shoot any day of the week. He's going to be able to do it for you. That's the type of player you're looking for here. But it's a really deep draft this year. There's a lot of interesting names at 16. Something you guys were talking about earlier, they could potentially trade up. There's guys like Trae Young, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander that they can look to address at point guard if they go with Ayton. 31, there's a couple of draft and stash guys too. It's a really interesting part of the draft. If you haven't been paying attention, like John alluded to, it's a really good time too. And ArizonaSports.com has you covered for all of that.
Yeah, you guys have broken it down. It's great. You can see information on a lot of the prospects, all the guys that have come in and worked out for the team, and certainly more. Now we did get one of the guys in today, and this has become a story because this is his second visit. Aaron Holiday, the point guard from UCLA, who happens to be the 16th pick in a lot of mock drafts. People think that the Suns are going to take him. Well, the Suns are kind of doubling down on that, or at least making people think that, because now they've brought him back for a second workout. And here were some of his comments talking about coming back and working for the Suns for the second time.
I'm sure they told my agent, but I wasn't worried about that. I just came back to work hard.
Do you have any other second workouts planned?
Not that I know of right now.
And one more from Aaron Holiday.
I mean, whoever wants you to come in for a second workout, that just means they want you. So I obviously want to go where I'm wanted, and that just was my decision.
Should we read into this, Eddie House? I mean, they're bringing in a lot of guys, but Aaron Holiday, the only one that they've doubled up on.
Well, you bring him in twice, and I got a text from Big Sauce saying that he almost broke the 3-minute run.
Oh, the run, yeah. Really?
Yep. Yeah. The record is 29 by Shaquille Harrison.
That's who it was. Shaq did.
Holiday did 28 in his first workout. He lapped everyone in the run. I've never seen that before when I've gone into workouts, and he hit 28 again today, which was probably more impressive today because he was competing against Jalen Brunson out of Villanova, who's a terrific player, and that's a guy, Eddie, you look at mock drafts, you look at rankings, you see Jalen Brunson ranked ahead of you, and you're like, what? Oh, I get him in the workout today? Okay. Then you're really going at him.
I like Jalen Brunson, though. I think he's a super solid point guard. I'm not sure that if I'll take him at 16. And I'm not sure if bringing Holiday back for a second workout, that means they're intrigued or something that they liked or something else that they wanted to see that they felt like they kind of, you know, it was a little incomplete. They needed some other – they needed to see him a little bit more in pick and roll or things like that, or because, you know, they measured him. They measured everything on him, so all the measurables were done. It was just the fact of what they particularly were looking for. They had to bring him back to get it all, to cross off all their boxes. But I wouldn't be – and you guys could tell me what your thoughts is. We were talking about maybe moving up. I mean, I'm a big Trae Young fan, and we all know that right now this is what can't happen. Nobody's beating the Warriors, okay? I don't care what team.
Kevin Durant. I mean, come on, man. That's
and he's about
ridiculous.
To resign back with the Warriors.
Yeah, people are hoping maybe he'd leave. That's not happening.
That's not happening. He's going to come back having too much fun, can win too many championships. But so while they're together, I don't think that there's a team that can beat him. So you could go young and say, hey, man, and no pun intended with going young, but you could go with a young core guy, a group of guys, with Booker be your oldest player, right?
And that's silly.
You could make if you make the playoffs and lose to the Warriors in the first round, right? That's great experience. You come back the next year if not the eighth spot and you wind up seventh or sixth and you lose to them in the second round. So what? Great experience, because their window is going to start closing And at the same time, the Suns will start opening up, and then they will have invaluable experience of playing in the postseason, playing against a championship team. So sometimes you could take something from losing. I think with a young team, if you're going to – I think you should just go young, because right now we know for a fact – and I'm not talking about Trae Young. I'm just talking about young and while you're rebuilding. That way they could get all the experience that they can to when it is their time. They've seen it all, and they played against the best.
You know, I'm okay with that philosophy, but only to a certain extent. And here's what I mean by that. I'm okay with saying you're gonna play the young guys, but you're gonna play the young stars. And we got two potentially with Josh and Devin. You know, Devin much more so right now established than Josh, who just finished his rookie year. We know what we have in Devin Booker. He's the best young shooting guard in the game. I think I can say that with absolute confidence.
Period.
Yeah, that's it. And we got him. So now, yes, those guys are your guys. I don't want young guys starting when they're not starting caliber players. And Marquese Chriss and Dragan Bender, I am not writing off. I still think they have a future in this league. I just don't think they should be starting power forwards in this league. So for me, if you say go young, I'm okay with that. But let's go get Derek Favors and plug him in at the power forward. Let's get DeAndre Ayton at the center. He can start all day, all along, every single game. I'm open for that. He's ready. And I thought that all along watching him at U of A. I said that guy's ready to play in the league right now. And we haven't had those guys. When you drafted Bender at 4 and Chris at 8, there wasn't that thought that these guys are absolutely ready to go. Right, Kellen?
Well, when you talk about guys who are young and ready to play right away, that's not the guy you're getting at 16. That's not the guy you're getting at 31. Even starting in their second year, maybe. But those are the guys you get when you trade up.
And that's what I'm talking about.
And the thing about trading up right now is the Suns want to win 40 games next year. They won 21 last year. You're going to need to make some moves to make that happen. But the good news is this is an extremely young roster. The Suns own all of their first-round picks in the future. They own a protected first-round pick from Milwaukee, an unprotected pick from Miami, from the Goran Dragic deal. They have all these picks, and they have flexibility. They have players on the roster they can move. They have a bunch of cap space. They can make this move. If they want to look at the 7th spot, the 8th spot, the 9th spot, and say, ooh, we want Trae Young. We want him. Here's 4 first-round picks. That sounds like a lot, sure, but here's 16, here's 31, here's the Milwaukee pick, here's our top 10 protected pick next year.
Or throw a player in there.
You can throw a player in there, too.
And you got to throw a player in there.
To get that player, though, you need to move up, and the Suns can move up right now. They can get Trae Young and say, okay, like we'll switch between you and Brandon Knight, but next year it's your team. And that's where you look at defense and you go, you calm yourself a bit with Ayton and Young, but Eddie, the thing that we talked about so much was the Suns need 3 things, really. They need defense, they need passing, and they need shooting. And Trae Young is an excellent shooter, but something you brought up when we were off air was he was probably an even better passer than he is a shooter, and that's what he doesn't get enough credit for.
I think that's his best attribute is his passing ability. I think that gets overlooked. It's hard to lead the nation in scoring and then also in assists. I mean, that means you're making the right plays and then all the attention's on you and you're still able to get other guys involved. I think that's a special talent that he has. It will. And as far as you talking about defensively, I think if Ayton, I think he can become a very good rim protector and a very good defender.
Yeah.
And when you have a guy like that that's protecting, you can gamble a little bit more on the perimeter. Trae Young's defense doesn't look as bad as you might think it does because you have somebody erasing that behind you. So I think you can look at that and say, hey, Booker, Jackson, Ayton, Trae Young.
Favors. Plug him in, man. That's my guy.
If
you put him in at the 4,
on the
he's
Twitter.
Also an excellent defensive player.
I think
very underrated
poll,
defense.
Yeah.
But everybody talks about Gobert. Derek Favors can D up. And if you brought him in, well, that'll only help DeAndre Ayton defensively,
right?
I would think.
We talked about DeAndre Ayton earlier, and we talked about how the Suns have never had a generational center or whatever. Devin Booker has never had a point guard that can really put him in the right spots and really help him get better looks. Trae Young can absolutely do that. DeAndre Ayton can even do that. He's getting doubled. He sees Booker on the weak side. Oh, easy.
I mean, Josh does it a little bit too.
They can make those passes.
Think about how hard it would be to double Ayton when you have Trae Young on the perimeter, when you have Devin Booker. So that's two guys that's not coming already.
Josh is cutting back door like he got no chance.
I think he'll have an opportunity to go one-on-one a lot with that. And you just want to see that those youngsters blossom. And again, I think that I don't know, man. Am I dreaming?
We're getting too excited.
If we were dreaming, we'd be talking about King James making his way over here with his buddy James Jones. That's what we'd be. If we were really dreaming, that's what we'd be talking about. That's what the Lakers special draft show is probably focused on now in LA. What's up, Jared?
I just want to summarize the last couple of years' state of the Suns, that you all just agreed that all the Suns need is passing, shooting, and defense.
Don't that sound like the whole
game? Literally the entire game of basketball.
It's been rough. It's been rough.
It's a good point, Jared. I appreciate it. Let's thank Kellen Olsen again for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Gale.
You're working on something right now, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we'll be covering trade-up options and veteran targets. A lot of people have been looking at that 16th pick and saying, we need a win-now piece. We don't need a rookie right now. We're looking at veterans across the league that they could add by possibly moving that pick. That'll be out next week.
All right.
Do I have time to ask him a quick question? About Luka Doncic, right?
He is the president of the Doncic.
I know. Yeah. So do you think that he will be able to come in right away with the numbers he put up, 16, 4, and 3? Would he be able to come in right away? This is what my guy on Twitter who said, what am I talking about, right?
He did. He called you. You got called out.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Right? So
shout out to Ahmad.
You think he's going to have, would those numbers go up in his first year? They're definitely going down, right?
I don't think they're going up in his first year. I think that's just too high of expectations. I think DeAndre Ayton is going to be able to handle the expectations of 20 and 10 or 18 and 11 or whatever he's going to put up. But Doncic, I'm not so sure. I think he's as NBA ready, quote unquote, as DeAndre Ayton. But if we're talking statistically, that's DeAndre Ayton's camp, 100%.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Guess it also depends on the fit, where he goes.
Yeah.
Is he going to end up getting 15 shots a game? If he is, maybe he would be able to use that efficiency and get over what he was doing in Europe with 16 a game. All right, coming up next, we get to go national. We get to talk to Sports Illustrated's Jeremy Wu, who just did his latest mock draft. We'll find out who he thinks is coming here to the Valley to play for the Phoenix Suns. That is next as we continue the Suns draft special here on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.